WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We are very appreciative. You know, if you want to follow the channel, you can just hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can just, you know, hit it, and it'd be that simple. Or you can subscribe to the channel, because we always like subscribers. You can do it free with, you know, Prime Gaming, or you can pay money, but who wants to do that? Just spend Jeff Bezos' money, but just, you know, hit the button down at the bottom of the screen. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
So I set this playlist for the show about 5 hours ago. Should have played a different Linkin Park song.
Why? It's a good song. It's a banger.
Yes, but currently in the Fortnite item shop, there's an emote for "In the End." It doesn't really matter. And it's a group emote.
Oh.
It's amazing.
So wait, we're hip, we're happening, we're cool, we're a Fortnite emote?
No, well, not this song, but...
Oh.
It's in the end. There's a whole Linkin Park bundle. Music and stuff. You can use your credit code RocketStar or Lindsay Moore because hashtag epic partner. But yeah, this is The Rack. We're live. It's a Thursday night. We are Apple Podcast 8th ranked witty commentary podcast.
Hey!
And Spotify. You search witty commentary and we're ranked number 8 in the search.
Awesome!
So,
God.
Go us for witty commentary. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. I got that email, and I was confused.
Wait, 8th in the world?
If you search it,
no.
It the 8th thing that comes up for witty commentary when you search it on Apple Podcasts is our show.
That's a lie.
It's, but it shows up. I looked at it. I searched
you,
it,
and
it.
You did it?
Yeah, it came up.
Oh my God.
It was real.
Why? Can we monetize that? Can we do anything with that?
If you would like to sponsor the eighth ranked winning commentary podcast on the internet, do so. I guess. Yep, those are things. So we're here for live. We're talking Monday Night Raw because we did not talk about it this past Monday because it was on at 4 p.m. Eastern, which is not a doable time for either one of us. So we're here
to work
tonight, 3 days later. And eventually we'll be back on Mondays.
I will say, though, I kind of like the fact that it was on at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon because I could have it on and I could be listening to it and I could be working because I have a job. I'm very fortunate to have a job that I can sit here and like listen to wrestling as I work. And so like I kind of like the fact that it was on. Huh?
It's great. But also it then screws up the rest of my night because it makes it feel weird.
It does make it feel weird, but it's like, you know what? Hey, I have the rest of my night. Like, it's done it. Like, it was done at like 6:30 and it's like, I can go make dinner. I can go watch a movie. Like, it can be relaxing. Like, I mean, it's not conducive for anybody else, but it's like, hey, this was actually like nice because I could sit here and I could play video games if I want and, you know, just have a good time, like just enjoy the evening, and Raw's done. And like, best of all, because we weren't covering it Monday, it's like, well, for anything I missed, I can just go back and rewatch the show, which is exactly what I did this afternoon, just to refresh what happened. Because, you know, 3 days I've slept since then, and I don't necessarily remember, so I have to watch the show again. But like, I kind of like the fact that it was on at 3 and 4 respectively, and it's on at 4 again, right?
It's on at 3 p.m. Eastern because...
Can it stop moving time zones?
No, it's because they do their daylight savings. So they flip. So it's because they're in London. They flip this weekend and it's going to be 3.
Because I like tuned in at 3 thinking that, oh, it's going to be on at 3 again. And it's like, no, it's on at 4.
That one was at 4.
And so I was like, is it on? I'm like, what time is it on? I need Netflix to tell me. So yeah. But no, I like that it's on in the afternoons. I don't want to do it like full time, but like this has been a nice little like break from doing the show on a Monday night.
And it adds content to the show tonight, which we're going to get into later tonight. But we have news we got to get into. Presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
We do. We have stuff to get into and talk about. And yeah, we have our, I don't think the final announcement for the Hall of Fame, but like a pretty good announcement, all things considered. The natural disasters are getting their due. They're headed into the WWE Hall of Fame, so congratulations to them.
That's a good one. So Typhoon was celebrating it, so yeah, it'll be fun to see Typhoon get inducted, and then Earthquake will be honored as well. So they're getting their due, about time. I think there's one more to be announced. I think that's the plan.
Yeah, they should have one more.
But that will be with someone who's no longer with us. So if the rumors are true, so we'll see what happens.
Is it a boo-boo?
No.
Oh.
So anyway, we'll talk about that name down the road if it happens.
Okay, fair enough. This
is so stupid. Just say it. just do it. Read the news.
Oh God, Dominic Mysterio has acquired a brand new sponsorship from Wingstop. He's now known as the Tendy King. Expect it to be a wrestling gimmick shortly. Fuck. The Tendy King?
That's what it said.
No. No.
But he is.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm afraid now. And moving on, Charlie Dempsey has been announced for Bloodsport 13, so that will be a fun little thing for him to do.
So another name added to it, Pete Dunne, Natalya, and now Charlie Dempsey.
WWE is just stacking things up, and yeah, they're adding even more, because that's WrestleMania week,
yes.
And they're adding even more to WrestleMania, as if we don't have enough to do during that 4 or 5 day stretch, however long it is. WWE WrestleMania After Dark has been announced.
Which is all for local. I don't think any of that's streaming. So that's for people in Las Vegas. Because there's a welcome. Because Thursday, April 17th, WrestleMania 41, welcome dinner and launch party at LIV, which is a dinner from 8 p.m. to 10:30, and the launch party from 10:30 p.m. to 4 a.m. with appearances by Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, and Rey Mysterio. Performances by Valentino Khan and DJ Irie. Welcome dinner by Kamado at Kickoff WrestleMania 41, the exclusive WWE event at Live with Dinner with Kamado, featuring delicious takes on Southeast Asian dishes such as American Wagyu tenderloin, pecan duck, Wagyu beef sliders, chicken skewers, plank roasted salmon, salmon tacos, mushroom tacos, sushi rolls, and an open bar experience for the low price of $49.99. That's where it starts at.
Wagyu? $49.95, that's not bad.
Friday, after the Hall of Fame after party, will feature Bron Breakker, Liv Morgan, and Metro Boomin, and DJ Irie will be playing for $79.99. Saturday, after WrestleMania Night 1, it's Jimmy and Jay with Machine Gun Kelly, $79.99. And Gronk Beach, WrestleMania After Dark at Liv Beach on the Sunday of WrestleMania, which features the Chainsmokers, Diplo, Flo Rida, Little John, plus appearances by Lizzo, Bill Belichick, Travis Kelce, Russell Westbrook, and more.
The most random amalgamation of people I think I can think of. Like, what the actual fuck? Go off WWE, just go off with your bad self. That's all I can say.
I'm going to read this as it goes. Former WWE 24/7 champion and four-time Super Bowl champion. Super Bowl's the second part of his legendary career. Rob Gronkowski is bringing his ultimate beach party, Gronk Beach, to WrestleMania with a sold-out track record at Big Game Weekend. Not Super Bowl, but Big Game Weekend. And past artists, including all of them. So they're not coming. Okay, that's past ones. Gronk Beach has grown into one of the most America's most viral music festivals. I mean, that would have been something if they were all there. That's all the past people. No, he's not, apparently. Cool. Apparently not. It was just past appearances. So this one has Damian Priest and Tiffany Stratton with Flo Rida, Valentino Khan, and DJ Irie. Man, if you got Flo Rida, Little John, and Chainsmokers, and Bill Belichick, that would have been a fun party, but none of them are coming to WrestleMania. But yeah, that'll take place at the new hotel and stuff like that. So WrestleMania, if they're dark, party till 4 a.m. Woohoo! Because you gotta do something, I guess, and the word is sleeping is not a key.
Who needs sleep? What is that silly word, sleep? Come on.
Yeah.
We don't need no stinking sleep. It's Vegas. It's the city that never sleeps.
Yeah. We'll go with that.
And on top of all of that we just talked about, because, you know, that's not enough. The WWE Iconic Awards show, the Slammies, is making its triumphant return. It's going to be the Fan Choice Awards, and they will stream live from WWE World at WrestleMania on the social platforms on Sunday, April 20th. So if you want to go to the Slammies, you can go to the Slammies.
So, yeah, it'll be there. They'll air all the clips on social. They never give it time, which is weird, but it'll probably be sometime early afternoon.
Probably, yeah.
Because at some point, talent will wake up to do
right?
it.
Right?
Because there's all these after parties, so who's going to be awake on the Sunday? Oh, they're going to regret going to Vegas. But anyway, that's a different story.
You know what? They're all young. They're all...
Are they all, though?
Most of them are.
I don't know about that one.
They can do it. They can take it. They're superstars. That's what they're meant to do.
Yeet.
I mean, it will be one hell of a party, though. So yeah, if you want to go check that out. And finally, we have news on who is going to be the brand new ring announcer for WWE. They have shifted people around. And it seems that Mark Shunock?
Go with it.
Okay. Under the name Mark Nash will be the new ring announcer for WWE SmackDown.
He's coming over from... He does the ESPN boxing ring announcing. He's done, I think, hockey stuff. Cool. Sports. So now you have the ESPN team on SmackDown with Tessitore on commentary. Mark Nash now on ring announcing. So, you know. I mean, when the former ESPN guy... Lee Fitting is running things. He's going to bring in his people. So,
you know what? Honestly, none of them have done a bad job so far, so I'm not going to complain.
It's all working out.
It's like, my God, there was a plan and they knew what they were doing. Who would have thought? Speaking of plans, there's a plan here. I'm not quite sure what the plan is, but there's a plan with this one as we move on to AEW. The big news coming out of that is that Saraya, 6 months after signing a brand new contract with the company, is leaving. Now, this isn't terribly shocking, because she had been sort of like talking about retiring. She had been saying that she didn't have a lot left in the tank, yada, 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 yada. So when it got announced that, hey, she's leaving, it's kind of like, okay, all right, interesting. And she was done as of last night, by the way. She was out as of last night. So I think technically she's now a free agent.
She has no commitment with the company, correct.
But did she retire or did she quit?
She left.
They just let her out of contract. They
came to an agreement that she's out of her contract.
Interesting. There's a story there. There's something going on.
No, I don't think they left on good terms. Excellent terms, as they're calling it. It's a case of, it was a big deal when she came back because she had been retired and WWE really didn't do much with her. They did some manager stuff. She was a general manager for a little bit or whatever, but she never really had a role, and then after she got hurt, and so they never cleared her. So she eventually got cleared and AEW allowed her to compete, and she had some moments, like she's had some good moments, but nothing stood out. And she kind of, they gave her the big moment in front of her crowd in London at All In a couple years ago. She won the title, then she would drop it back a month or so later because she was not wrestling a full-time schedule. And even then she came back, she was working tag matches last year and stuff like that. She wasn't doing a full-on singles run, but she was wrestling a little more. And then it kind of slowed down, and then her contract was coming up. She got to do one more little thing on at All In and the Dynamite before All in London and stuff like that. And then she signed a new deal, and then she had one match since and announced she was taking time off from the company or whatever, taking a break or whatever, and she's promoting her book, which is why all this news is coming out. And she has a new podcast and stuff, so she's dropping all the news and getting people interested, which is where she announced the departure from. And that's why you got all the quotes, like they was talking about the Mercedes stuff and how that never happened. They wanted to, but it's one of those things where we're going to just do it blindly. Talent A thinks they're valued at X, or should be at placed on the card at X. Management thinks talent A should be put on at Z. And probably there was a point where they don't see her as an X talent. They see her as Z talent. And they're like, probably creatively, there's nothing to do. Because if you're going to use her name, her name value, just to put people over, are you really getting much in return? And she says she was happy putting people over on the way out before she left. And it's like, that's great. But they haven't done anything meaningful since Toni Storm left that group that she was in with them. And then Ruby got hurt, or Ruby got pregnant, and the group disbanded, and there was nothing really from it. So if you're not creatively enjoying yourself, why be in a place you can't do really much with?
I mean, that's fair.
I think that's what happened. I think creatively unfilled, and they parted ways. Whether she goes back to WWE, she's open. If they could tell the right story, yeah, use her. But I don't know if WWE needs her.
I don't know what story you would tell. That's kind of where I'm coming from at it. Like, I'm sure it's there, but the problem is that, like, Tony got the story. Tony got her triumphant return to the business and to wrestling. And so, like, they don't have that story. So what do you tell? The triumphant return to WWE?
Yeah, I guess so. But at some point, where do you go with it?
And that's even if they would clear her, because I know she got cleared for AEW, like in the same sense that Brian got cleared for AEW, but would she pass the WWE doctors? That's the question.
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes.
Yes. If she comes back, she comes back. It's weird. With the way WWE handles talent right now, and she doesn't have to work a full schedule, there's value in certain thing and certain matches. Never say never.
Yeah, Punk never say
is
never.
Punk is the example. Never say never. That's the best I got.
If she decides to come back, if she decides that's what she wants to do, great. Like, that's awesome. I love that for her. But if she decides to go off and do her own thing, great. I love that for her. Like, I don't think her future is necessarily set in stone in terms of what she's going to do. Maybe she's going to take a break because she's promoting her book. She's doing other stuff, right? So maybe she's going to be busy doing that. Who knows? But, I mean, in terms of her returning to WWE, never say never, but
if it happens, they can do something with her in June.
Yeah, I was going to say, right now would be a really bad time for her to come back.
I think it's June, maybe July. In that time period, if they need her, there would be an opening to do something with her, and it would probably make some money. We'll leave it at that.
Make some money. I think I'm just going to say this, especially with the roster the way that it is right now is, I don't know, I don't want to say this and sound mean, but like, I don't know where she fits in terms of that roster. Like, there are matches there, there's potential there, but it's like, in terms of fitting her in, I don't know where she quite fits, and I don't know if she would go necessarily where she would want to go with it, if that makes sense. Like, I actually can see her been like doing a lot of good in NXT. And being in NXT and helping to sort of like support. I mean, yeah, they could do that in terms of like that show, Rock, definitely. But like, I think in general, just to have her, like, if she comes back and does a one off, that's different than if she's going to come back and fit the product. Because if she comes back and does a one off and does one match, then yeah, okay, that's fine. But like, in terms of fitting her into the product as a character, it's like, I don't know where she's going to fit, because the division itself is highly competitive.
And there's too many. There's 100 girls that down in NXT looking to get on the main roster.
Yeah. And it's, I don't want to say they don't need her, because I'm sure they would be happy to welcome her back. But it's, like I said, I don't envision where she fits. And in a highly competitive division where everybody's going for that main spot, she may not be able to get that main spot. And I don't know if I necessarily, I am not going to put words in her mouth to say that she's going to command it. But it's, you know, okay, great, they bring you back, you get the big return, you get the angle for coming back for the big return, and then what? They kind of will probably bump you down a little bit because they have other people that they need to push ahead of you.
Roxanne, Julia, Stephanie, Jordan, those are just four names off the top of my head that all are commanding main roster spots here in the not so distant future.
And I mean, you have, in terms of her look, in terms of her persona, it's not necessarily unique anymore either.
Correct.
I was thinking about these the other day, that it's like between Stephanie Valkyrie and Rhea, they got that one covered.
Tatum Paxley has the kind of look too.
Yeah, like the list goes on and on and on. So if she wants to come back, great, absolutely, we'll welcome her back with open arms. But it's just, I don't know, man, I don't know where she fits.
It's always the key, especially as the company. I can see it from the company side. Hey, we bring her in, she's big market value, everyone's get treated like rock stars right now, so we could use another one. She's a well-known name. But we also have, we're building up our division from the ground up down in NXT. And we're bringing all these people. We have Becky Lynch just waiting in the wings to do something. And we have a lot of girls who just don't get on TV right now. So what do? It's hard. Like, you would bring her in because she was very loyal to the company for a long time. But you have to, at some point, go, what are we building towards? Are we building towards the past? Or are we building towards the future? And I think now we're leaning towards the future.
Like, I think what's driving my concern is, and I don't know if she was just saying this because she's trying to get out of her contract. I would hope not. But, like, the fact that she's like, I don't have much left, right?
Yeah,
like,
and I believe it, because her body's telling her.
Yeah, and she's listening, which, good for you. We're proud of you for doing that. I mean that sincerely. Like, good for you. So that's another thing that it's like, well, she's you know, not, if she's only going to be a one-off, or she's only going to be in every once in a while, then it's like, well, I don't know. Because they already have those.
If they want to do it and give her one last moment, and then she can officially retire on her terms, quote-unquote, then I'm all here for it, because they're giving that to Goldberg.
But here's the thing. She could have done it in AEW. That's the other side of this that I don't understand, right? Like, she's like, I want to retire. Okay, why did she take that to Tony, and Tony said no?
They probably could not come to the agreement for what they wanted it.
Because that's what's, like, bothering me about this. This is, like, she's just like, I want to retire. And then, like, the next day, literally, she's like, she's out. Like, damn, girl got on it.
I think she wanted it the Mercedes Monet match and got told no. And
so she's like, F it, I'm out.
I think that's the deal.
I mean, good on her, but, like, damn.
They didn't get the match they wanted, so here we are.
Here we are. So we'll see what she does in the coming months. In happier news, Samantha Irvin and Ricochet have officially tied the knot, so they are Mr. and Mrs. Congratulations to them.
Congrats.
And longtime ring announcer Bobby Cruz will remain with AEW ROH for the foreseeable future, as he is re-signed with the company, so congratulations to him.
Congrats.
And now the not happy news. There's been some shakeups at TNA Wrestling. Yeah, so Gail Kim, Ariel Scherner, Rob Kingman, who is the CRO, Michael Shuchenko, and also Karen Klevitt, Sebastian Destrane, Romy Glazer, and Raphael Morphy, I'm so sorry, are all gone from the company. I've seen, are they gone like as in they quit, or are they gone as in they were let go?
They were fired. Okay. So what has happened is, as Anthem has sort of done some restructuring, and they continue to change all the different things. They continue to wipe people out and fire people and remove people from positions because they're changing directions and they're bringing in different people. There's a new president of the company and they're all doing things. Rob Klingman, who was this chief revenue officer since last summer, he apparently was doing a great job and brought in close to $1 million in ad sales in the last 12 months. Don't know. The Michael guy was leading the team, the social stuff, and was everything, all the numbers were up there. Raphael Morphy, who left AEW to work for the Brooklyn Nets, was doing this job kind of on the down low.
Not anymore.
On the down, because there was like a non-compete there, so I've never said he officially worked for them, but he was kind of doing it on the down low and helped them promote some shows. He worked for WWE for a long time. He worked for AEW. And then there's Rami Glazer. She ran the marketing team and helped. A lot of numbers were up there, and they got some good promotion there. And then there's Gail Kim, who everyone loves, and they let her go too. And not a lot of people are happy with that one. And
she was running creative, wasn't she?
No, she was not in creative. She was working in talent relations and other stuff. But she was never. She may have been like able to contribute ideas, but she was never like a full writer. But whatever. But she was a contributor to stuff. And yeah, so she's gone too. She's not done with wrestling. But that was the, everyone was very surprised. The one talent says when their contract is up, they're not resigning because of what they did to Gail. She was very well liked. And
respect.
Yeah, that was a surprise. And people did a double take of that actually happened. And it's like, yep, it happened because change it. We're going to keep seeing that happen, I think, with people coming and going. And they're going to, the new president brings their own people in. That's kind of how all that kind of works. It sucks, but they're getting rid of all Scott DeMore's like crew.
Yeah.
Tommy Dreamer's taking over some Tom Relation stuff, and Delirious is now the head writer, but I thought he already was, but apparently he's back to being head writer or whatever. So
Delirious who knows. Is writing for TNA?
Yes.
Now? Wow.
Yes.
Good for him.
So that's where things are.
I mean, with DeMore's rather abrupt exit last year, this isn't terribly shocking that they're getting rid of people, because to Rock's point, you know, when somebody else comes in, you get rid of the old. The only one that I find really baffling is the one marketing guy, the chief revenue officer. He's bringing in over $1 million in ad sales. You maybe kind of don't want to get rid of that, unless that was not to what they wanted, like unless they wanted, he had a higher target and he didn't hit it. But like, that's a lot of money that, you know, they're kind of getting rid of, unless they have somebody that's going to follow up can do better. But I mean, I hate it. I hate it for everybody on this list. I hate it for everybody that was let go before. Like, it sucks. It's awful to lose your job, especially if you enjoy what you're doing, which I think Gail was very much. And to your point, she was very well liked by the talent. And it's an upsetting thing, because when you see somebody that's very well liked let go for what seems like no reason, which to this, we don't know what the reasons were, because they would obviously have to have a reason. But
the word was changes.
Yeah, it's just, it's restructuring is generally the term.
No, and they legit told her changes.
Oh, okay, great. You love that. you love that. So I'm sorry they all were let go, especially in the job market right now. It sucks. So I hope they can all find something very, very soon. I hope they get some kind of package. I don't think they will, since they were fired, but I do hope they get something to sort of help them out. Because again, like I said, it sucks losing your job. I was actually kind of thinking about this, because this made me wonder if Anthem isn't maybe positioning TNA for a potential sale.
You never know.
Like, I kind of, because they've had them,
or they're setting it up for a big, there's apparently TNA has a big announcement coming in a couple weeks, but or they're making it streamlined enough that whatever kind of next deal they get is makes them more profitable, and so streamlining and limiting the people who run the operation, it's like, you know, we're a lean, mean fighting machine, and we can turn more of our profit. I don't know.
I was thinking about it, and it's like, I just wonder, especially with, like, the partnership with WWE, if there isn't, like, a sale or a partial sale potentially in the future, because I don't think WWE would want to outright buy TNA, but at least, because I think they already have a specific level of investment in it.
That would just create more of issues if they did. And WWE right now, because it's not, WWE can't really buy them, it would have to be TKO, and that would cause issues, because then they would have to hold two wrestling companies under the public trading, and then
but TNA's not public.
No, but they would become part of it, because TKO is public, not TNA, TKO. But TKO would have two wrestling things, and that would cause, you know, whatever monopoly bullshit companies talk about, like marketing, monopolizing the marketplace or whatever, that sort
really
of stuff.
Think that's going to get called out in this climate?
Yes. No, it would, because when you think about it, TKO could then leverage a deal for TNA on television, which would AEW could then come counteract with certain things and say they're holding us up in this a lot of legal bullshit, but it would happen.
Well, I know there's a lot of legal bullshit, but that's why I'm saying not necessarily buy outright, but maybe buy like a portion of TNA from Anthem, and they're like, they co-own it, where Anthem owns like the majority in WWE, TKO, whatever you want to call it, owns a minority stake in the company as a means of like helping to carry the load, as it were, and that's sort of cements the partnership between the two, where it's, we're going to work together, we're going to be friends, and we're going to throw money at each other to, you know, sweeten deal. That's more what I was thinking, and that's what Anthem is doing, is positioning the company to be able to do that, because let's all be real, TNA has greatly benefited from the partnership with WWE, just in terms of exposure and TV deals and everything else, and their talent have benefited, because several of them have gone over, and they're doing the talent exchange where NXT talent shows up, and then, you know, TNA talent can show up. So it's just making me wonder if that's what's going on.
You never know.
And we'll have to see on that one. But moving on, TNA signs indie standout Maggie Lee to a contract. So congratulations to her. That's some happy news.
Yeah. Bunch of firings, hire a new person. That's kind of how it goes.
Let's go. Yay, business. But on that note, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Monday Night Raw and what happened on the show. So you'll see The Rock right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio news desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you, always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use creator code ROCK and sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad, because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree,
and this is Nikki, and we're the Bell Twins, and you're listening to the Rap Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, it is the Raw post-show extravaganza. I don't know. We're talking about Monday Night Raw, which aired this past Monday on the Netflix. Live from Glasgow.
Played the John Cena.
And they brought their game, y'all.
They did. We played the John Cena, the creator code bumper. Use the code, hashtag it. Because John Cena is currently in the Fortnite item shop, and so is Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair.
I like that Fortnite acknowledged the hero turn. Like, good for you.
But you can also find Dune, Adidas, WWE, Linkin Park, Klix, Belloverse, and Marvel, and Shohei Ohtani all are in this item shop, along with a whole bunch of other collaborations too. Hashtag epic partner.
Do you remember way back when Fortnite first came out and they got their first collab and we're like, what would be wild is if they got like all these collabs and now here we are 4 or 5 years later.
And the next mini season's gonna be another big collab. Can't wait for that. Shing shing one. Anyway, we're here to talk about Monday Night Raw. And it opened with the man you cannot see, John Cena.
He's going to ruin wrestling, y'all. He's going to ruin it.
Fans were loud. They were booing him. They started chanting, fuck you, Cena.
Which, again, they tried to censor and they just couldn't get it.
They got it a couple times. But the you see this man smile. He has the biggest smile on his face as they're chanting, fuck you, Cena.
Because it's working. It's working so well. Like, how can you not stand there and smile knowing that what you're doing is working this well?
Cena said the fans were there to do their worst. He said they finally understand what's going on in that he's turning the spotlight on the fans. He said he could turn any fan into the crowd and rip them to turn on any fan in the crowd and rip them to shreds. He said he put that clueless kid on blast. That poor, pathetic face was everywhere, and you loved it. WWE posted it. Cena asked whether he's worse as the one guy who actually tells the truth or the fans who use profanity and laugh at a kid. Cena said the fans will find out how he will make them pay for 25 years of abuse that they have put him through. Fans told him to shut the fuck up. He told the fans that they make it so easy. He's been testing, quizzing, studying, prodding, and rewarding the fans for playing along with their childish, curse-ridden nursery rhymes and did the whole what thing. He said that he knows everything about the fans, but they know nothing about him. Their lives are sad. This is the best it's gonna get, and this is all you have. He said to him,
John, we know how you sort your laundry, goddammit.
He said to him, it's been nothing more than an experiment. The fans were rats in a cage. The fans will tell him everything about themselves because they're so desperately want to matter. And then he gave everyone the greatest gift of all time, the Spinner Championship. Everyone ate it ate him alive for it. You Google negative comments about the spinner belt. Just do it. It's there. He said the fans told him how stupid it was for he was turning their championship belt into a toy. He said that was the biggest mistake they ever made because it told him what the fans care about most. And he declared he's going to ruin professional wrestling. He'll ruin it for every fan, every wrestler, for everyone. He'll make history by winning the 17th World Championship at WrestleMania and will force the fans to forget the name of the fun machine, Ric Flair, and they will say the name of John Cena forever. But even worse, I'm going to win that championship, the center of every superstar of this entire business, of every fan in this building. I will win that championship and retire with it. I am taking it home with me. He would force the fans to create a brand new toy belt because he's taking the real belt home. He'll be the last real champion in WWE. Cena said revenge is best served cold, and he's paying the fans back by ripping their hearts out, and there's nothing they can do to stop him. Cody Rhodes came to the ring.
Before we get to Cody, can we just talk about this section of it?
Okay.
Because the psychological quality of this was just so good. Because last week it was like he came out and it's, you know, old man yells at cloud, right? And everybody shit on it because they're like, oh, they're having John Cena fans, duh, and everybody hated it, or a lot of people hated it. I liked it. I thought it was good. But like this week there was this almost psychological, no, there it wasn't almost, there was a psychological quality to it, and it was almost like a supervillain type speech from Cena that it was just so good. Like this part was so good where it's just like, I'm just screwing with you. That's all I'm doing. I'm just messing with you. I'm just testing you. I'm just trying to see what reactions I can get out of you and what you're really going to let me get away with and what I'm not allowed to get away with. Like, it's like, I could give a damn what you actually think, and I'm going to go after what I want to go after, but I'm going to mess with you before I do, because that's part of my revenge for all of this.
Him tying everything back to everything in his career and using it as fodder in this whole story is perfect storytelling. It's logical storytelling.
Using
the spinner belt and using everything like that. Can't wait. I can't wait for what comes next and what he can tie back to it all, because he's using using everything that's ever been said about him, everything that he's, you know, that's been tied to him throughout his entire career. He's using it as material for the final run.
It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic.
And everyone who doesn't like it and gets up, that's upset about it, well, then he's doing his job.
Yep.
He's making you angry. And he's making you angry and upset by giving you exactly what you've been asking for 10 years. He's giving you the heel turn. He's giving the fans just whatever, he's giving everyone exactly what they've asked for as his final gift to wrestling, the heel turn.
And he's making sure we're not going to be disappointed, because it's not, I'm going to kind of dip my toe in being a heel. No, I'm going to go scorch earth. We're going full send heel here.
We're eliminating what was John Cena.
And I couldn't be happier with that. And just bravo to him and everybody involved in this. But that this was just like so good, the way that he set this all up. And when he said, when he said, I'm going to win that 17th title and I'm going to make you forget Ric Flair's name, I sat here and I was like, you know what would be really fucking funny? They'd have to get her there because she only has like 13 or 14 world titles. Like, I think she's at 13. They'd have to get her, I think, two more to tie or whatever. But you have Charlotte Flair take that record back.
I mean, I think that'll happen at some point, yeah.
It'll happen at some point, but like, you have her reclaim that in the name of family honor. I actually thought about it because she's like, I was like, she's actually won like 17. I looked it up, but it's like combined 17. Across like multiple titles, but have her walk up and be like, bitch, I already did it.
So what they're doing, what Cena's doing, is he's giving his character a send-off. We're getting the conclusion to the John Cena character.
Yep.
Without any limitations of what can happen, because if other people were in charge, it would just be your straight up wrestling angle. He is giving, you can tell he's an actor now, and he's writing his character off, which is why he's always said, when John Cena jorts, man, is when I'm done, jorts are done, and I'm just going to be in a suit and an ambassador. And that character is done. So we're seeing the end of the John Cena character, giving you the heel turn. You all want it. And because we're in a Netflix era and a new regime era, the gloves are off. He could do whatever he wants.
Yeah, and they're going to let him.
And they're going to tell the story. Speaking of the story, Cody Rhodes showed up. He goes, I'm sorry, what did you say? You said you're going to take this away from them, but don't you have to take it away from me first?
I mean, not technically.
He said this is perhaps the most dangerous that Cena has ever been, but he's made a massive mistake by saying what he said in front of the fans while he was in the building. He said Cena saying he wanted to take the belt. Cody laid, come get it. He laid the belt out, take it. They're ready to square off. Cena left. Fans booed. Cody called him back. Cena shook his head. Left. Cody goes, the champ is no longer standing there. The champ is standing in the center of this ring. Cena will be walking away empty-handed, and that's how he will end up walking away from WrestleMania and WWE. So what's interesting is that part was solid. It's Cody's quick retorts are really good. What's interesting, Cena has one Raw left that we know about until WrestleMania, and that's next week. Be interesting to see if his first stateside appearance is WrestleMania.
I mean, honestly, I'm kind of okay with it if that's the case, because you don't need to do a lot for Cena and Cody at this point. Like, you've pretty much got it there, and, you know, you kind of put the burden on Cody Rhodes a little bit, because the other side of this story is that this is going to elevate Cody Rhodes to another level. He's already the company guy. He's already the face of the company, but they're going to elevate him with this story to a whole other level, because they're forcing him to work against a heel John Cena, which nobody in that company has had to do in a very, very, very long time. So it's Cody's got a lot on his plate, and it's a kind of a proving thing for him, especially as the top babyface, right? So this is going to take Cody to a whole other level in terms of just the character and everything else. But for John, he's like, why should I show up? Why should I go in front of you people? Why should I be there? I don't owe you anything. I don't owe you my time.
It's just interesting that he has no scheduled appearances until Mania. So I hope they tape.
I'm kind of okay if he just rolls up.
I hope they tape something with him and use it on a Raw.
Probably.
Like a sit down and just sort of tape something and air it 1 week just to get content. We'll see him again next Monday in London. Also, I would like to see a little bit more back and forth on the talking. Not one man says something. I would like a little back and forth. If it's the final showdown, a little bit back and forth.
I think we're going to get that. Yeah. Possibly right before Mania is the smart time to do it. But if they do, what we're thinking they're going to do, it's if Cena does take Cody's title, I think that's when we're going to get, because that's my only like kind of complaint, is that fire hasn't quite been lit under Cody's ass. It's smoldering. It's there, but that drive, right, it's not quite there yet. And I don't know if that's going to happen right before Mania, or if that happens after, where John Cena takes Cody Rhodes's title and now Cody's got to chase, right? And that fire gets lit again, and he's got to go after Cena, and then we see more back and forth exchanges, and we see Cody making demands and being much more aggressive than what he is right now. Because, like, it was there Monday night. Like, he walked out there and said, you want to go? Let's freaking go, right? Mm-hmm. He's ready to fight Cena. Like, I'll fight you right now. I don't care. But, like, just in terms of the fiery sort of Cody Rhodes promo on Cena, we haven't really gotten that. We've gotten like snippets of it, and I don't know when that's going to come. If it's going to come, like it may not.
It'll come at some point. But we'll see what happens. Other things that happened on this show, it was A Down Under taking on Jay and Jimmy Uso. The Usos reunite.
It was a reunion.
Jay and Jimmy got the win, of course. Afterwards, the Usos were celebrating. Gunther attacked. Jay went to go for a spear, slipped up. Gunther then attacked him. Jimmy made the save. But that's not where it ended. There was a little pep talk later backstage. They were sitting on steps backstage, and they were, the Usos together were talking. And Jimmy's like, you're getting in your own head, and talk about the losses to Gunther. And Jimmy assured Jay that he could beat him. But Jay is like, can I beat him? And like, not this Jay. I need the right hand man to be the guy. And then Jimmy is firing Jay up, and he's all good. And Jimmy's leaving, walks into Gunther. Jimmy challenges him to a match. Gunther's like, okay. And Gunther's like, I hope you don't trip and fall like your brother did. And then Jimmy slapped the shit out of Gunther.
Yeah, I did.
You heard that slap, and it you heard the sound of it, and it left a mark.
That thing had echo.
And then Gunther just smiled. It's like, okay, cool, cool. So that was good.
It worked. My plan, my evil plan, it worked.
It's all working as intended.
But this was good. Like, this having... Because in the grand scheme of things, in terms of who should give Jay the pep talk and who should kind of, like, wake Jay up, It should be his brother, right? It should be his twin. After everything they've been through, right? The whole bloodline ordeal. Everything that's happened, you should see them come back together, and you should see Jimmy encouraging Jay and being like, hey, you need to get your shit together. This is WrestleMania. This is the title. This is everything you've worked towards. You're screwing around. Stop it. Focus.
Yeah.
And I think I like that. Like, I really enjoy that. And I hope that it's not like some weird thing that they're going to do, which I don't think it is. But like, you have Jimmy be that catalyst to get Jay to that next level, because I think all of us want to see Jay beat Gunther. I don't know if we'll actually see it, but like, it would be a very cool moment to see Jay get crowned champion at WrestleMania to capstone the story, right? To capstone this journey that he's been on, which started five years ago at this point.
They have an after party with him announced for night one of WrestleMania.
I think he's going night one, y'all. I think
night one he wins the belt.
Probably.
And you can have him party and celebrate with the belt with people. Just a hunch.
Don't give him the real belt. Give him like one of the copy belts. Just in case he's...
Liv is talking with
Dom. I'm not going to say he's going to lose it, but just in case he's...
Liv is talking to Dom and Raquel. Carlito is in there as well. Dom brought up Finn not wanting to invite Penta during Judgment Day. And then Morgan told Dom to talk to Penta again and said Bella didn't want her to join. And look how things have turned out. Lyra took on Raquel for the Women's Intercontinental title. Lyra with the retention of the title. After the match, it was a 2-on-1 beatdown on Lyra Valkyrie until Bayley ran out, making the save. Looks like we're going to get Bayley and Lyra taking on Raquel and Liv, probably at WrestleMania for the Women's Tag Team titles. I would assume that's where that's headed.
Probably.
Which is fine.
By the way, is it wrong that like when they were showing the walk-in. Well, no, I'll say it when we get there. But yeah, that's probably where Liv and Raquel are headed. This tag team titles.
New Day's wants a tag team title shot. So there's that as well. That's going on. There was a video package for El Grande Americano.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
So that whole thing aired, Lucha Libre style, all the thing.
People had mad.
Ray and Dragon Lee are talking to Adam Pearce about El Grande Americana. They assumed it was Chad Gable, who then showed up and said they were wrong. Gable is sick, and he cannot face Dragon Lee, but you should have him face El Grande Americano. So that's what happened. It was Dragon Lee and El Grande Americano hailing from the Gulf of America. El Grande Americano got the win. I thought the video package was funny. Some people take things way too seriously on the internet, and here we are.
You know what it reminded me of was Sergeant Slaughter way back in the day. It's not the same. I know it's not the same, but it's that same style where it's Sergeant Slaughter turns on America,
mm-hmm.
where with this, they're hitting a lot of trigger points because they did this knowing they were going to hit those trigger points. And from that standpoint, it's brilliant. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but from that standpoint, it's absolutely brilliant what they're doing with it. But I would hope they don't go much further than what they did. That's all I'm going to say on it. Although the egregious use of AI, y'all, come on, come on, come on.
Adam Pearce is in the ring. He has the contract. Io Sky comes out. Doesn't care about the contract. She'll take on Bianca and Rhea anytime because she's the champion and will remain champion. Bianca came out. Bianca said she went through elimination to get the WrestleMania, so she wasn't about to let Rhea headbutt her way into the match. Pierce was about to say something. Rhea comes out. She doesn't give a damn about WrestleMania or who she has to go through to get her title back. All I want is my rematch. Bianca said she could wait 3 weeks because then you get your rematch after I become champion of WrestleMania. You'll face me. They started to bicker. Io got pie-faced again. Adam Pierce was holding her back. Adam Pierce was like, if you let me talk, I will tell you things. And you'll get your rematch with Io Sky next week. And the winner of that match will defend the championship at WrestleMania against Bianca Belair. Then we had a three-way brawl with Bianca Belair standing tall at the end. Fans were booing Bianca, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
I think it's more because Rhea is really popular. And so is Io's gaining steam. in that manner. So it's nothing she's doing. I think the European crowd is like, you know, we kind of like these two over you right now. But nothing against Bianca. Speaking of Bianca, as New Day exited the locker room from Hannah Pierce, she walked in. And she wants to know who she's fighting in WrestleMania. And Pierce informed her that next week, during the Io Sky and Rhea Ripley match, you will be the special guest referee. And she says, I don't know how to referee. And she said, you have a week to figure it out. Which means there will be no finish.
Yep, there's going to be shenanigans.
And they will be forced to give us... They'll be forced to give us a triple threat match at WrestleMania. Speaking of triple threat matches at WrestleMania, CM Punk came to the ring. He said it's hard to be pissed off when you come to out to a vision like that. He said he's tired of jet lag and he's concerned about his road to WrestleMania. And he says he's not getting what he wants, or am I? Leading to the hint of, am I getting the main event at WrestleMania Night 1 because favors? Punk said he wanted to win a Royal Rumble. He didn't. He said he needed to win the Elimination Chamber. The more things change, the more things stay the same. I work with children. He called Seth Rollins a little diaper piss baby. He said the simple math is two men standing in his way of what he wants most, and they must go. He said Punk said Rollins has been crying since he returned because the shadow cast of Rollins belittles Roman's entire career. And Punk said Roman Reigns sees in real time that his wise man isn't just his wise man. Winks. He said it's just business for him. It's personal for them, but it's business for him. And he said he will do an old-fashioned contract signing. Fans booed because it'll happen in London and not there. He wondered if the match will get him closer to what he wants, or if it was just another rug pulled from him by the powers that be. He reminded both men that neither man has beat him without the other man's help, because you can't. And he brought them into this business, and can't wait to be the one to take them both out. Good stuff.
Very good stuff. Very, very, very solid stuff. And I mean, Punk did have Heyman before Roman.
He did, and he also brought them in as the Shield, so...
Long-term storytelling?
Dominic Mysterio is backstage and told Penta he knows he's good, he could be better, and he's willing to offer a spot in Judgment Day. Maybe things will go Penta's way, and said Penta could become the Intercontinental Champion tonight. So your main event of this show was Bron Breakker versus Penta for the Intercontinental Championship. Really good match. Ends in disqualification when Dom and Carlito got involved. They're all attacking. Finn Balor shows up. He attacks him with a chair. Penta gets the chair. Dom gives it to him. They're ready to team up, and then he tossed the chair at Dom, kicked him in the face. He took out, he attacked Finn Balor, but Finn Balor took control. Coup de grace on Penta. Dom got back up. Carlito, Dom, and Finn Balor stood over both men as the show ended, as Judgment Day Trio is back on the same page one more time.
One more time. It's the last hurrah, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Solid ending.
But solid ending. I think we can see where this is going, that, you know, Balor's going to feud with Penta, which is fine.
And you're building to a three-way, a four-way at WrestleMania, most likely, because I think it'll be Finn, Penta, Bron Breakker. And because he does a lot of talking to Adam Pearce, and there was a comment that I think Liv made to Dom at some point, that you should be an Intercontinental Champion. Dom gets at it as the fourth man for a four-way match at WrestleMania. So, more multi-man matches. Possible. I'm okay with it.
I'm fine with it.
I know people are upset, like, oh my god, I can't believe that's how you ended Monday Night Raw with the Judgment Day standoff. It's like, yeah, you're building storylines, and you're slowly telling people in how they've been doing this build with Bron Breakker. Is suddenly he's in the main event every week of Raw. Just telling the fans he's your main event guy on Raw. Subtly.
They're getting ready to transition him out of Judgment Day, I feel like.
Bron Breakker, putting him in the main event. Slowly putting him, like, suddenly in the main events every week.
Yeah, they're getting ready to move him. Well, they're getting ready to move him up. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, it's like you're suddenly saying, Bron Breakker, main event? Bron Breakker main event.
Like, I fully expect with Breakker that he's like one of Jay's first challengers.
If he drops the belt, yeah. He's gotta lose the IC title first, but yeah.
Yeah. But that's what I would fully expect, is that, like, at some point Bron is in the hunt for Jay if Jay wins the title, and if Bron drops it.
It's a match you could do. Yeah.
So we'll have to see there. But really, really solid stuff. No, what I was gonna say is, like, is it weird, like, when they were showing the walk-ins, right? And they were showing people, like, walking into the building, that they showed, like, Ray and, like, everybody, and then they showed Penta, and Penta didn't have the makeup on. And I was like, what? Like, it was all it like I want to, like, equate it to, like, a Victorian woman showing ankle. You're like, wait, what? Like, it was just one of those moments you're like, dude, because you only ever see him wearing the makeup. So I was like, I didn't know. Like, it was just like, I'm not against it. I like it. is just like, oh wow.
Oh yeah, I forgot about finish. I forgot about the finish. Speaking of that, of like mask makeup and stuff, the finish of the Americano mask finish with Dragon Lee and El Grande Americano was he pulled the mask off. Forgot about that part. It's good storytelling because the luchador can't show his face. The luchador can't show his face.
Nope, they can't.
They cannot. With that, it was raw. Solid. It's not as good as the week before, but a solid show. Cena stuff in advance and everything else. You're kind of putting the pieces together for WrestleMania. It's a good show.
I feel like they're coasting towards like WrestleMania at this point. Like they have everything set. They're good to go there. Now they just have to build up to WrestleMania in like a few weeks. So they're just kind of coasting in.
They're building the undercard, which is what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. But that does it for us, and you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, there's another edition of CB Radio. Sunday night, it's WTR, Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, the all-time greatest WrestleMania main event. And you go, there's not 64 of them. Oh, I know. There's enough that I have bracketed out a tournament that'll make things very interesting. Tune in, Sunday night. For that, a one night all-time greatest. There are many, but they're not 64. There's like 47 by my count of what you can consider a main event. And they'll be broken up in a way that makes sense to me. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack, with featuring the Raw reaction of Monday Night Raw, and then we'll eventually return with the Raw post show a week from this Monday when Raw ends. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit code RockSock or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store when you buy Dune, WWE's John Cena, Bianca Belair, and Becky Lynch, Adidas, Clicks, a Dodge Ram truck, Mellowverse, Linkin Park, and so much more. Shohei Ohtani, and everything else that's coming that your heart could ever dream of, because we are
hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@LinsWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, and like and subscribe to his content. Tell him we said hi, because he does amazing work. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.